Did you eat any of the PCP spiked clam chowder from the set of Titanic? And did they ever catch the person responsible?
Yeah, that's kind of a crazy story.
Has no redeeming value whatsoever.
Am I a talking dog?
Hi, doggy.
And that's very stupid.
Take it or leave it.
This is my house. Allow me to introduce you.
Who are you?
I'm a cop.
And all, and welcome aboard to Disasterpiece. I'm your captain, Justin.
I'm a first mate, Steve.
And this is Disasterpiece, a show where we talk about some of the wildest, craziest moments of pop culture that led to some wild, crazy moments in history.
Yeah.
And today, we're sort of not exactly talking about a finished product.
No.
We're talking
it's
about...
more of an... It's an incident.
It's an incident, a disastrous incident on one of the best pieces of pop culture ever made.
True. Have we done an incident?
I mean, besides just the life of a man who smoked crack, but this is different.
That is true. I think that is the most similar to this episode would be, obviously the drug use as well, but it more just being like a crazy story of drug use where you wouldn't expect drug use.
Wouldn't
Rob
expect
Ford
it.
Smoking crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But folks, this whole month, we're doing a little series called Catastanic Month. You get it?
Catastanic. It's like disaster piece, but an even sloppier portmanteau.
That's right. Because folks, April 1912, a pretty infamous disaster happened. One of the most famous disasters in history. It was the sinking of the Titanic.
That's right. You know, it's funny when I'm thinking about putting together that portmanteau of Castanic, Catastanic, mm-hmm. is that like Titanic is already just so synonymous with disaster.
Right.
That it's just like a hat on a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
It was already a hat on a hat. We threw another hat right on top of it.
Yeah, the Hindenburg Tanic disaster.
Exactly. But yeah, obviously we don't talk about real sad disasters on this, but the Titanic, a huge disaster, and there are weirdly some pop culture disasters surrounding it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, later this month, or, you know, you might hear us talk about some other pieces of pop culture about the sinking of the Titanic. But obviously, when you think of Titanic, I would say maybe even more so than thinking of the actual disaster, you might be thinking of the blockbuster smash 1997's James Cameron's opus, Titanic.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that I pitched our idea of Titanic April, and they're like, you're doing four episodes about the Titanic movie? And you're like, no. Was a Titanic.
Yeah, there was a Titanic.
And our other stuff.
And just the human race has been obsessed with it for over 100 years. But specifically, yeah. The 90s got an even bigger resurgence because
huge.
We got like, okay, if you're going to make a movie that's hypothetically going to make money from a big disaster, you got to do it as well as Titanic.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Which I will say, I've only watched Titanic one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was late. I was probably like early 20s, maybe.
Holy shit. What's your review?
It was always just like, I don't know, you know, being a teenage boy is stupid for many reasons, but one of them is sometimes you just write off whole pieces of pop culture as being like,
sure.
Well, that big famous romance movie that every girl says makes them cry, whatever. And then I watched it and I cried and it was incredible. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, what a film. And
like, yeah, it's great.
You know, James Cameron's obviously made a bunch of stuff, but, you know, I'm never like his number one biggest supporter or anything. But then you watch something like that and you're like, God damn, that's a...
Oh, yeah.
That's a
flip. I mean, I would struggle to think of any James Cameron movie that even if you weren't a big supporter, you didn't walk away from and be like, oh, that was fucking well made.
He did a Piranhas movie, which he took his name off of.
Piranha 2 was his first... first feature. Yeah. Which he had no control over. But then you just go like, it's immediately the Terminator.
Yeah, I mean.
And then Aliens, and then The Abyss, a little bit of a downswing, but has now been reclaimed.
Yeah, people like it.
And then you have the run of every movie he makes is the most expensive movie ever made, and then the most successful movie he's ever made. And that has been true all the way up until, I guess, the new Avatar didn't outgross Avatar 1, but it was still the most expensive movie ever made and a runaway success.
Yeah, still made well over $1 billion. And the guy does good stuff, which means it's a little confusing that we are specifically talking about his 1997 Titanic movie today.
Yeah, this episode will all be centered around 1997's Titanic for a very specific and strange reason.
Yeah, which you might have heard up top, but Steve, why did we decide to talk about one day of its 6-month-long production? Why are we talking about this one day in August 1996?
I feel like I need to slip into my, like, you must remember this voice and, like, go into the history of the making of it. But, well, we are remembering this one day because there is a mystery surrounding the Titanic, and that's the shooting of the film, not the actual Titanic. And it's that on one day, the entire cast and crew was dosed secretly with PCP.
Angel dust, baby.
Yeah. A really insane, intense drug.
Yeah.
And intentionally, as far as we can tell, intentionally dosed and poisoned.
Yeah. And I think the real kicker to that one sentence pitch is that they got poisoned with this drug via a chowder.
Yes. My favorite thing about all of this is that the one thing that's up for dispute is what kind of chowder it was. Mm. Any article or video I watched about this, they're like, no one's sure if it's a clam chowder or a mussel chowder, but it was a chowder. And there's conflicting reports over what the chowder is.
I guess it would make sense that everybody's memories are a bit addled from that night, but
I guess so. Yeah.
But yeah, kind of one of the weird saving graces of it being a seafood chowder is that there were some people on the set that day who simply can't eat seafood, which is not that uncommon of an allergy or something, or just maybe on a late shoot weren't interested in having a thick chowder when they were doing like a 15-hour shoot and like opted for a salad.
If you were averse to fish or had any kind of lactose intolerance, you probably got away unscathed from this one. Although I think everyone got away unscathed. But
We will say up front, this was not a poisoning to the level of like Jamestown level. Like this is like a
oh my God.
This was just everybody had a completely wild night on the set of, at the time, the most expensive movie ever made.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a weird fucking piece of history. This really happened, dude.
It sounds like something that you would hear from the set of like Apocalypse Now or
totally.
And just some set of Werner Herzog film or just some crazy 70s shit.
Yeah.
But the fact that it happened on this is just so nuts.
Yeah. Pretty wild. And I think for me, something that we can talk about over the course of this episode is like, it's like, I mean, it's edging towards the top, but it's somewhere in the middle in terms of like, if dozens and dozens of people, I think it was close to like 80, ended up going to the hospital. So like lots of people were like, they had their food spiked with like an illicit substance. Like obviously the lower end would be like laxatives or or maybe even like light food poisoning. And then everybody got sick and were throwing up and spewing juice out their butt. And then obviously the upper end is like legitimate poison or maybe even like a stronger dose of a worse drug where people were like legitimately out of their minds.
Sure.
But I mean, this one's near the top, but it still was like we said, nobody died. They kind of basically all went back to work a day or two later. So
yeah,
while this is so fucking weird and obviously like really fucked up to like give someone like even just like having spiked it with alcohol without people knowing, like that's a fucked up thing to do.
Oh, yeah, guys.
But
yeah, spiking people's drinks and giving people drugs without their knowledge or consent, not good.
That's pretty top tier bad guy stuff.
Yeah.
But because there weren't like crazy repercussions, it is sort of like, all we now have, like, luckily, it's mostly a funny story that we get to talk about for the next 30 minutes,
sure.
Which I'm excited about. I'm glad that it wasn't. Yeah, like it was fucking arsenic and people died. So, Steve, should we just talk about the history of August 6, 1996?
Yeah, I think it would be a day that lives in as much infamy as April 14th, 1912, the day of the sinking of the Titanic.
I think so.
Yeah, let's jump right in. You got your chowder?
I got my chowder, dude.
I got my big bowl of chowder. What do you got?
You know, I can't tell what the seafood is.
Yeah, I can't tell either.
Is, but
it's weird.
But it is thick, creamy, and full of a substance I'm unaware of.
All I know is it's not a red chowder, because that shit sucks.
God, why even call it a chowder?
It's crazy, right? Have you ever had it?
Yeah, it sucks.
It's terrible. It's just thin and gross.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah. I hate that it's associated with the city we live in.
I know.
All right, I'm going to take a big bite. Sip. Did you say you bite soup?
Definitely not bite. I would say slurp.
You don't say you drink it, though.
Yeah. I mean, you just eat soup, I guess is fine.
Eat soup. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll take a big old eat of this soup.
Oh, I'm seeing funky colors.
Let's do it.
So, folks, we are in the middle of a shoot in the early stages of shooting the Titanic.
Yes.
The most of the big stuff that you're thinking of, as in on the Titanic, which they built
the
a near life-size replica of in Mexico. But all the stuff, the beginning and the end of the movie with Bill Paxton and Rose as a 190-year-old zombie. All of that.
Zombie? She's so with it.
I know, but she's like, what is she, like 100? Four?
Because
she says,
I mean,
it's been 84 years.
Yeah, so she's supposed to be 100 something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say she's doing well.
She is doing well. I mean, the actress, I believe, was 84 when she shot it. Not 104.
Yeah.
But folks, okay. All of that was the first stuff they shot in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Hell yeah, it's beautiful.
Canada, baby.
That's right.
And so some of the main players, obviously James Cameron and all the other main, like, you know, producers and stuff are there. And we sort of like our big players, maybe like Bill Paxton is sort of one of the main, like, oh, here's our big star of the moment. Obviously, there's other members of his crew that are there that are actors you recognize. But Bill Paxton's sort of the main guy. And this is supposed to be the last day of filming in Nova Scotia. And I think the next day they're supposed to head down to Rosalita, Mexico to start shooting the big stuff.
Yeah.
So it's the last
the
day
Titanic.
Of shooting. Yeah, the Titanic. And they're shooting, and they have what seems to be a late lunch. It's described as lunch, but based on how crazy their, like, 15-hour days were, apparently they would have lunch sometimes at, like, fucking 9 o'clock at night, like, quote-unquote lunch. So they're having their first meal of the day. Folks, they wheel out chowder. Which, Steve, right off the bat, you know, you and I have been on some movie sets, and
sure.
Obviously the productions we're working on are not $200 million budgets and giant studio shoots, but when I first heard that, like, oh, the first meal of the day is like a seafood chowder, like, that already for me struck me as a bit odd, you know, because like most sort of craft services meals, most time it just feels a little bit more like this should please everyone.
Sure. I mean, I would assume there was a bit of a smorgasbord of
sure.
stuff available, which are also, you know, why people didn't necessarily, not everyone got dosed. But yeah, it's a little strange. I guess if you're in Halifax, it's probably a big chowder town. you know, I've been there. I didn't eat a chowder, but I was very young and broke, so I couldn't have afforded a broth even if I wanted to, let alone a chowder. But yeah, it is a kind of a strange thing to wheel out. And again, yeah, the shoots I'm involved in are more likely like someone throws down a bag of, you know, Nature Valley granola bars, a loaf of bread, and a jar of peanut butter, and that's kind of what you get. But,
yeah, or they get like four giant subs from Blimpies and chop them up into 20 pieces.
This is $200 million movie.
Yeah.
They probably got a chowder budget.
Yeah, they're probably doing better than pizza and Subway sandwiches.
Yeah,
but
yeah, exactly.
At the very least, your first meal of the day being a thick chowder, it's a decision. And apparently, even at this point, there was already like it was becoming clear that this thing might go over budget, which it ended up going $100 million over budget, I think. And it ended up going about like 2 or 3 weeks over schedule.
Yeah.
And this one was kind of, you know, this one didn't have as many crazy things because there wasn't a fucking ship sinking, but it was already like, it's a James Cameron set and he's notoriously like hard on crew members, hard on actors, lots of moving pieces, dozens and dozens of crew members. So stress was already high. Everybody sits down to eat their seafood chowder. And then apparently like they come back from lunch and they're getting ready to start getting back to set. And there was this quote from Marilyn McAvoy, who was a prop painter on set, who I think is somebody who did not eat the chowder, who said that like she was maybe one of the first people to notice that like people were acting different. It wasn't immediately bedlam. It was just immediately like people are not able to like concentrate on their simple tasks. People are like confused about where they're supposed to be. Just like a little bit of just like, what is everybody just sleepy? Like what's happening? And apparently James Cameron's first thought was, because they're eating all this seafood, was that like it could be red tide and like the shellfish could have some contamination.
Yeah, he thought there was like a neurotoxin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like everybody had like red tide muscles or whatever and are just like their stomachs are acting up, which is making their brains not working as fast.
It's also the most James Cameron shit ever, where he's like, I know what it is. It's a shellfish-induced neurotoxin. And you're like, what the fuck is that, dude? Like,
James.
That everything's about the ocean.
You know what? To solve it, I'll dive down to the deepest point, and I'll fight a shark.
Yeah.
And apparently, people started to panic that either they got food poisoned or something was wrong. And apparently, one of the first decisions that someone made, like an official decision, is that an assistant director separated the crew into good crew and bad crew. Those were the names of the two groups. Bad crew being most of the people who were just suddenly acting weird and feeling
sick.
Oh,
no. You can't tell people who are, like, high that they're the bad people. Like, that's going to make it so much worse. It's affected and unaffected.
And you guys are the good crew. There's an amazing story about apparently in one of the rooms, there was like most of the grips and electricians were in there who were part of the bad group. And then one of the crew members first started to describe exactly what he was feeling. And apparently he's like a 6'4" grip guy. And he goes, quote, do you guys feel okay? Because I don't. I feel like I'm on something. And believe me, I would know.
Hell yeah, dude.
So this one guy was just like, this is not food poisoning. I am starting to trip.
Because that's got to be what really exacerbates it, right? Because like if you take a psychedelic drug, like you kind of know what you're getting into, but you know, it's still like exciting and like, but just not knowing it, like that's just got to make it so much crazier.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. I suppose it's a good thing that they had like a thick meal to go with it. If it was...
I don't know. I don't think it works the same as like whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, I think PCP just sort of, it doesn't matter how much food you have in your body, it's just going to get in you, you know?
This is my favorite part of the story. Just as this guy is the first to declare like, actually, I think this is drugs because I feel like I'm tripping. Apparently like right after that moment, James Cameron jogged past their door with an extra chasing him. And the extra was yelling, there's something in me. Get it out.
That's so good.
It's so funny.
There's something in me. Get it out.
Which feels very much like something from Alien or something.
Dude, no, that's it. That's how the chest buster works. Yeah. Holy shit, that is so funny. It's like, you know, especially James Cameron, where I'm sure for the past like 10 years, extras have been afraid to like even barely make eye contact with him. So he's not used to anybody interacting just with him. And now this crazy dude on PCP is like the Terminator. Just like, go, 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 go.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, Steve, would you at this point, I mean, I suppose maybe the answer is obvious, but would you rather be a member of the good crew, or would you want to be a part of the story of the bad crew?
I mean, you got to pick the bad crew. I don't know. I mean, I guess either way, you're part of the story and like you get to observe it. But I think you just like, it would kind of suck to suddenly be thrown into this situation where you're babysitting a bunch of like adults freaking out on PCP.
Right.
At like that might
midnight
suck
in Canada.
Yeah, that might suck a little more. Obviously, the terror of taking a drug and not knowing you're on it and like the way drugs tend to slow down time has its own set of problems. But I think, like, looking back on it, yeah, you'd want to be like, I'm fucking chasing James Cameron down a hallway, you know? I was making out with Bill Paxton. What happened?
I will say, as this story goes on, I think I would want to be Bill Paxton based on how he ends up handling it. So at this point, the number of bad crew is growing and panic is really starting to go because there's people running around set and screaming.
Wait, hold on for one second. Can you imagine if everyone's freaking out and someone's like, they just need to eat something. Give them some more chowder.
Double down on the chowder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone finally makes the call that we need to get, the estimates are 50 to 80 people rushed over to the Dartmouth Hospital,
right,
which is nearby Halifax. They go to the hospital and they just kind of like flood through the doors. Like, you know, there's obviously no appointments being made. It's like midnight. 80 crazed crew members enter, and apparently, like, a good majority of them...
One leaves.
Yeah, only one can see the doctor. But apparently people are, like, a lot of them are, like, you know, like, curled over in the halls of the, like, of the hallway of the hospital. So apparently some people are just laying on gurneys and just fucking, like, freaking out. But apparently a select few were... dare I say, having a good time.
You can say drugs can be fun.
Yeah, there's apparently a story of in the halls of the hospital, the director of photography, Caleb Deschanel, is leading a small crew in what can only be described as a highly vocal conga line.
Wait, Zoe Deschanel's dad.
Yeah.
Famous cinematographer. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Leading a conga line through the hospital.
Wow, cool. Yeah.
And
damn, oh man. Fucking just where were the smartphones? Obviously, they didn't exist, but God damn.
I mean, there should have been a BTS guy there. Well,
he was all fucked up, too.
Yeah, he was all fucked up.
He thought he was shooting. Yeah. Yeah. And then he woke up the next day. It was just a banana with an apple taped to it in his hands. Like, I thought this was a camera.
And that's how he invented the iPhone. That was Steve Jobs. Yeah.
Dang.
Apparently, the nurses and doctors are just furiously shoving activated charcoal down people's throats because that's supposed to help because they thought it was food poisoning.
Okay.
So apparently, that's supposed to calm it. It was not food poisoning, so I don't think it was really working. Back on set, the remaining good crew members are just like sitting idly, terrified that their crew, like their fellow crew members have been poisoned. Also concerned because, as we said, this was supposed to be the last day of shooting this big part of the shoot before they fully move everyone down to Mexico. And they did not finish the shoot that day.
Oh, of course. No. Yeah. You have to stop.
Yeah. They had lunch and then nothing happened. So now they're like, are we stuck in Halifax for another days, weeks? If people are dead or dying, it could be months.
Yeah. It could be the end of the movie.
It could be the end of the movie.
Like somebody dies and there's a lawsuit and they're just probably Paramount would just shut it down.
Yeah. And they're supposed to be like, I'm supposed to have like 5 more months of work. And now it might not happen. Even James Cameron's over at the hospital. So it's not even like the leader is there.
So he is dosed.
James Cameron's dosed. So is Bill Paxton. And they're all just over there in the Bedlam Hospital of some people dying and some people having a crazy Beetlejuice party. And apparently it was Bill Paxton who was the first to say, fuck this, being here is worse than suffering on my own in this weird hospital. So he goes back to set and he said that he thought to himself he's just going to drink an entire case of beer because that'll make him feel better.
I get it, brother. I've been there.
And that's apparently what he did.
Case like a 12-pack?
In my head it was a 6, but it could be a 12.
Oh, because at first in my head it was a 24. That's what I go to when I hear case.
Yeah, case.
You never know. I mean, on stimulants like that, you can just drink forever. So he could have easily downed like 18 beers
and
barely felt the effects of it. I mean, it's PCP. People are known to like be able to punch through windshields and get like shot in the chest and like still keep going because it's just so much fucking adrenaline.
Yeah, it's just adrenaline. Dead. What's maybe like a light Canadian beer he might have been able to get an 18-pack of?
I think in an interview I watched, he said it was Carlsberg.
What's that?
It's from Denmark. But yeah, he quoted Carlsberg, which is just a real basic Pilsner.
Sure.
It's fine.
So Bill grabs anywhere from 6 to 24 beers, heads back to set to drink it off. And apparently one crew member who detailed a lot of this stuff in a couple, you know, there's like a famous like Vulture article. There's a couple of people that have like done sort of like a history of this night. And there's this one crew member who was allergic to shellfish and did not participate. And they were just hanging out in like one of the like Winnebagos on set, just kind of like killing time. Apparently it was like 4 a.m. They're waiting to hear news. Half the people are still out. And then in walks Bill Paxton, who's now pretty drunk, and James Cameron. And both of their eyes are apparently like beet red. Apparently, specifically one of James Cameron's eyes is like, you can't even see the pupil. It's just red.
Oh, my God.
To the point where someone was like, he looks like the Terminator. Like, he looks like.
He became his worst fear.
Yeah. And apparently James walked into this Winnebago with this crew member who was not like a, you know, a high up producer. So him just now hanging out at 4 a.m. with an addled James Cameron and Bill Paxton. James Cameron came in with a full bottle of scotch and Bill Paxton had a bag of joints.
A bag of joints.
And then apparently they smoked a joint until sunrise.
Dude, I have a theory that from midnight to whatever, 6 a.m., when this shit really had its claws in these people, that was the coolest James Cameron ever was.
Probably.
It was probably the only time where he just wasn't a dick, wasn't thinking about next movie, next exploration, just like freaking out about like being so active that just for that 6 hours, it was probably the single best time ever to hang out with James Cameron.
And it was the first time he'd lived in the moment in his entire life.
Yeah, exactly. Holy shit.
Just smoking a joint in a Winnebago.
A bag of joints and a bottle of scotch.
Sounds like a fucking Jimmy Buffett song. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just like, God, it sounds like just such like a 70s set. Like, even if you took out the PCP, it's just like, yeah, you know, Polanski walked in with, you know, a sawed-off shotgun and a six pack of Carlsberg, and we had a great night.
And a fully green eyeball. It was nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
So the sun rises, and it seems like, you know, some people are still at the hospital. People are still a little fucked up, but it seems pretty clear that it's like nobody's going to die. It was not immediately obvious that, like, nobody was just like, we've been poisoned with PCP. Like, they didn't know.
Right.
They probably knew they were spiked with something, but it would be pretty hard to determine PCP unless you were, like, an active user.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Someone PCP. Immediately. How do you know?
I just work at Craft Services. But a few weeks after this incident is when the Nova Scotia Department of Health sent a letter to Paramount saying, we did an investigation. It was PCP. It was angel dust. And at that point, they handed the investigation over to the Halifax Regional Police.
Mm.
And the crew ended up spending an extra, I think, like one or two nights having to finish the shoot. Pretty much everybody came back to set the next day just being like, that was fucked up. But
the next day?
Yeah.
Oh.
Everybody just like slept it off in Winnebagos and then came back for the night shoot.
God.
I mean, yeah. Having a traumatic night in the hospital and then having to work the next day is... that's probably worse than the experience.
Like, I assume there's no hangover, but like, it's probably just complete serotonin depletion and like.
And also just complete, you know, did not sleep at all. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Your body would just be so wrecked. You're just up all night doing the conga.
Right. That's exhausting on the hips.
Your legs would be destroyed.
Although I'm sure that James Cameron probably appreciated the extra 2 days of filming. You probably saw
this, a bit of a silver line.
And then a couple days later, they arrived down in Mexico. The investigation's still going on. Apparently, Billy Zane made a comment like, those kids got to have all the fun on set. Most crew members from the Canadian shoot were actually not on the Mexico shoot. It was like two different crews, which makes sense. But there was a small few that did. And apparently, one of the people that were at both was a member of Craft Services, and basically as soon as he arrived on set, he was met by Mexican police at gunpoint because someone on the crew like pointed him out and be like, I think it was him, based on nothing other than that he was probably a craft worker. And
then
he got taken off set at gunpoint from Mexican police because they thought he was the PCP bandit.
But what would they even care? They thought he just had more PCP on him? Like, were Nova Scotia going to, like, extradite him from Mexico? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know
That's
if this was
so crazy.
It's weird. It's like this Canadian-Mexican joint special ops.
It was, whoa.
Yeah, bizarre.
That sucks. I mean, like, obviously you'd be suspect number one and sure. you have to go and talk to the police and everything. But I'm sure it'd be like pretty. It's like, do, you know, like they probably don't even live in Halifax. It's like, where do I get the PCP?
Yeah. I don't have a guy. And, you know, accusations apparently kept flying around, but nothing was sticking and production had to keep going. They shot for like 5 more months. They did end up going several million dollars over budget. They finished a couple weeks late. But honestly, when I looked it up, I think they were like planned to do 138 days and they ended up going 160, which is over schedule. But I mean, with a movie like the Titanic, I thought they were going to say like it went 4 months over schedule.
Yeah.
Like an extra 20 days, like, sure. Could have been worse. Yeah. And the Titanic came out December 1997. Pretty big smash hit. But the investigation did not end there. It continued until February 1999 when they officially closed the case. No hard evidence was found to put to a specific person. So technically, the PCP chowder spiker still at large.
Still at large. It's interesting that the investigation went on that long.
I know, because it's like how much, because like the set probably got wrapped. So like, where are you even looking for evidence? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like maybe it was just one of those things where it's just open until it's closed, even if no one's really looking into it. And then someone was just like, let's just wrap this one up.
I have to imagine it was like a fun case to work on, even just for being able to talk about it with your friends.
I mean, you probably got to like get to interview Bill Paxton. That's cool.
Yeah. Take blood from James Cameron.
Yeah, yeah. Interview Bill Paxton, go split a case of beer with him after. It's great. Yeah.
Apparently, after the incident, one member of the art team ended up making shirts for everyone who was on the Halifax set, and they were good crew and bad crew shirts.
Damn. That's got to be a real coveted piece of memorabilia.
I know. Apparently, it had a little bowl of chowder on the bottom of it.
That's so cute.
But my question for you, Steve.
What's that?
Is why did someone spike the chowder with PCP?
Well, it could be the glaringly obvious answer that James Cameron is a piece of shit and has made a million enemies.
Absolutely.
During his time. I think that's got to be it. Obviously, there's a case for like maybe it was a mistake. Maybe somebody just dropped their PCP into the bowl. There's a case for maybe it's group hallucination. Maybe it was just something that happened and like it just weirdly caught on and everyone thought they were fucked up. Very improbable, those last two. But I definitely think there is something to say about like James Cameron's ability to piss people off. But in the interview I watched with Bill Paxton, now I love Bill Paxton, RIP baby.
RIP.
He was talking about the story. And he was saying that, like, it was actually pretty rare for him to have joined the crew for lunch because he didn't like the caterers.
We would take our dinner at midnight, and then we'd work till dawn. And I didn't care for the caterer much, so I was ordering my meals in. But
maybe the caterers found out that Bill Paxton was talking shit, or maybe he gave some shit to them. And then he said that was the one day where he was, like, going to sit down with James Cameron and have lunch with him instead of in his trailer. And maybe the caterers caught wind of that. And maybe they just wanted to dose him, but didn't know a bowl was going out, so they just dosed everybody.
Wow. So yeah, because the leading theory is that it's like James Cameron is a bitch to work with, so somebody just kind of wanted revenge. But if Bill Paxton was the target, that's a whole new level of intrigue.
What about you?
I mean, I did a little research because there are theories, obviously. Yeah, I mean, the main one is James Cameron is sort of a monster on set and somebody was upset about it. I mean, I even saw a thing. I think he did like a master class sometime in the last 8 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in that, he said that like one of his few regrets is like he wished he could have been like a little like on set. He wished he could have like been a little bit better. He has a quote where he said, "I could have been less autocratic. I could have not made the movie more important than the human interaction of the crew." And he specifically cited how much he wishes he was a little bit more like Ron Howard, who's apparently famously the nicest director in history, who spends more time complimenting everybody and really working with people. But in 1997, he was not Ron Howard. He was Jim Cameron. So it took
Sorry, do you know the crazy thing about James Cameron's masterclass?
No.
It went over budget by $50 million. It's still the most highest grossing masterclass of all time, but you know. Sorry, go on.
That's good. And then I saw one theory that I don't think really adds up specifically with like who was mm-hmm. there. But some have suggested that like since it was the last day of filming for most of the crew and cast at this specific thing, it was some sort of like, this is a stupid theory, but it was like a sort of like old Hollywood, like it's the last night, baby, like let's have a party. Like someone spiking the punch at like a Great Gatsby party to be like, let's get fucking right. weird tonight. Maybe we'll see some wieners. Let's go crazy. But like spiking it with PCP and the chowder during
and
lunchtime.
And you're still not done.
I know, yeah, it's during lunchtime. Which is silly because it's like, obviously it wasn't Bill Paxton who maybe could be considered one of the like Hollywood guys on set because he got fucking poisoned. Sure. And it wasn't 86-year-old Gloria Stewart who, by the way, for the record, guys, there's two reports. One is that she maybe only ate half a bowl and was fine. And one is that she most likely ate at a restaurant that night and didn't even eat it.
That's what I heard. I heard that she had gone to a restaurant, but also what restaurant? It's midnight in Halifax.
That's a good point.
Maybe there's something out there. I don't know. There's like some 24-hour Tim Hortons or something she can go to.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that rubbed up against me where I was like, where the fuck would you go to eat at midnight? But obviously she didn't get dosed. And that is definitely, it could have been so much worse.
That could have been the bad story. That could have been the one.
But wait a minute.
Really sad.
This makes her the prime suspect.
I know.
Oh, was that your theory?
I mean, old Hollywood coming in. I don't know. Where was she?
That is true. She's the only person who like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you go to a restaurant at midnight?
We should. Yeah, but we're going to have to find a Google Maps from 1996 and see where the closest restaurant is. And if it's over an hour drive away, then she might have been lying. Dude, how exciting would it be if we could break the news.
Oh my God. That'd be amazing. Just
27 years that old innocent Gloria Stewart.
Do you think we destroy her legacy or like make her even cooler?
I think over time it would end up being the coolest thing that an 86-year-old woman has ever done.
Yeah.
This was not, you know, the only bit of drama on the set of the Titanic. A movie
there's more drama.
There's going to be some other stuff. Nothing that quite eclipses PCP chowder. But
sure. You know,
famously, Kate Winslet had a pretty rough go of it. She said working with Jim Cameron, very rewarding, incredibly difficult. She broke a bone in her elbow at one point from just slipping and then kind of just had to keep filming. She famously almost drowned in one scene where it's the water coming through the hallway. Her coat got caught on like a gate and she couldn't get out of it.
Oof. It's so wild that after this, she was like, you know, just talk so much shit about James Cameron and working with water, which I get, and then doesn't reunite with him again and Avatar, The Way of Water.
And then she broke the record for longest holding your breath underwater by an actor?
I think so. Yeah. For what's that called? Circular breathing or whatever?
Yeah.
She did like 6 minutes or something.
No, it was 7 minutes. She beat Tom Cruise's 6 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. No, that's crazy. It's just so funny. She was like, I'll never work with James Cameron again. I'll never work with water again. And she just goes.
And then she does both. Some actors who were in the We're All Waiting in Water part at the end, apparently the water they were pumping in, because folks, that was not shot in the ocean. That was shot in a giant tank where they had millions of gallons of water. Apparently it was dirty water. A lot of people got kidney infections from that water.
What? Why were they drinking it?
It's so
tasty.
It's
on them, dude.
Dude, dirty water is tasty but dangerous. Apparently several crew members left during the set due to the conditions. Few stunt people broke some bones. And after all the debacle and the fact that it went way over budget and it was going to be really long, like, you know, 3+ hours, we're going to have to split it on 2 VHS tapes. Apparently the studio was like, cut it. And Cameron apparently retorted, you want to cut my movie? You're going to have to fire me. You want to fire me? You're going to have to kill me.
Damn, that's cool.
And he stuck to his guns, which seemingly was the right call. Yeah, a nice 90-minute cut of Titanic probably doesn't have the same zhuzh.
No, yeah. And I guess the thing you'd probably want to cut out maybe is all the, like, Bill Paxton shit.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Of course, the operant theory was that I was such a psychomaniac that they were trying to get back at me, but I reject that theory out of hand for obvious reasons.
We mentioned some of the others before, you know, like Apocalypse Now and stuff, but can you think of any other production sets from hell? I mean, obviously, if it's a really good story, we'll probably cover it here eventually.
But, yeah.
You know, there's obviously some of the famous ones like The Exorcist set apparently being pretty haunted. Same with Poltergeist.
Right.
Just like
yeah.
various incidents on set or immediately after of like people dying.
Poltergeist 3, she dies yeah. making it. The most disastrous production I can think of is also boat related, which is the Fitzcarraldo production, the Werner Herzog movie. Mm. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it, but
it's literally a movie about like trying to drag a ship over a mountain. And
oh,
Herzog,
right. No, I actually just saw a video about this recently, and he actually yeah. wanted to do it.
And Herzog did it yeah. or tried to do it, and it was rough. There's a documentary about it that I think is maybe longer than the movie called Burden of Dreams, and it's really interesting. On top of just having like insane Klaus Kinski as your lead, you're like, we are truly going to physically drag this real boat over a mountain. Small yeah. mountain. Pretty crazy, though.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Obviously, the Twilight Zone movie is like the most, the
super
saddest
notorious.
One.
Yeah, that sucks.
Where two children background performers were killed when a helicopter crashed.
Yeah, that's devastating. Apparently, there's reports of on the set of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, some extras were given real drugs, and it led to
unbeknownst to them. Oh shit!
Also on The Crow, which obviously has a bigger disaster that happened. Also, several crew members also one day reported feeling really disoriented and sick, and it was later revealed that they had some drugs in them that they also it was unbeknownst to them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild that's happened twice. I guess maybe just caterers, weirdos, like people yeah. wanting to feel powerful. I don't know.
And I guess when there's like 100 people on set, you can't account for everything. But
no,
it's such a
not.
Weird, specific, fucked up thing to do.
Yeah, it's really weird. And especially like knowing that there is like an 86-year-old person on set who might get dosed and die.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
Really crazy.
God dang. I mean, it's funny. I guess it's a different, less litigious time, but I'm surprised the crew didn't like sue the shit out of Paramount.
I know. This could have been like a... Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. I mean, yeah, everybody went to work the next day. It's crazy how
just class action lawsuit. Like, if you worked at a restaurant or something or anywhere and there was food given to you and it was laced with poison, whether it be a fun drug or arsenic, like that's on them.
Yeah.
That is food provided by them.
There's implied trust when you're given food on a working set.
Well, Justin, there's only one thing left to do before we really start tripping. That is to put the Titanic PCP incident on the disaster scale. The disaster scale works this way. If it's a 1, not much of a disaster. If it's a 10, holy moly, what a disaster. Justin, where do you put this on the disaster scale?
Parse it away from the movie itself, because if this had happened on any set, it would still be crazy. It is yeah. slightly crazier that it was on one of the most famous movies of all time. Nobody got really, really hurt, and it didn't even really disrupt the production that much, but it's still a really fucked up, crazy thing that happened. But also it brings me joy to think about it, because it's pretty fucking funny. I think there could be an argument that it's way worse, but I'm just going to give it 5 mystery muscles out of 10. Because it's sort of like, it's a really crazy fucked up thing that happened, but it could have been worse. And it also
yeah,
could have just been laxatives.
Yeah, right? Just do the laxatives.
Steve, what about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you are. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a real fucked up thing to do. And I'm going to rate it maybe a little higher because it's like it is an intentionally harmful thing to do
yeah.
that I think had the intention to probably be worse or for the outcome to be worse. And luckily, because Gloria Stewart was dining at some like all-night diner or was the one who dosed everybody, uh-huh. it didn't end up being that way. But I'm going to give it an extra 6 days over schedule. out of 10 for this. Because again, like, everyone seemed to be lucky enough to have a fairly good time, have an incredible story afterwards,
sure,
and get a pretty decent t-shirt.
That's right. We got to get some of those t-shirts. But it is an intentional fucked up crime. So that is something.
Yeah, it's a crime. Is it our first? I guess it's not our first crime, Rob Ford. Technically,
yeah,
smoking crack is illegal, but it's very different when you're just ingesting it yourself as opposed to like.
Right. And we've maybe had some like fraud and embezzlement with some movies like Food Fight or something, but this is the real. Yeah, those are ephemeral. This is a clear attack.
This is an unsolved mystery, a cold case.
Starting off our spinoff show, Unsolved Disasters. Well, everybody, that'll do it for us today on the SS Disaster Piece. Thank you so much for listening. We couldn't do this show without you. And folks, this show that we do right here, it's not just a podcast in your ear holes. It's also a live show in your eyeball holes.
That's right.
Steve, where can people check out our live show?
Well, our live show happens at Wonderville in Brooklyn, New York. It's a really great bar with a bunch of free arcade games. We watch a crazy movie. We do a little talk back before it to get you all prepped to really understand like how crazy this thing is going to be. It is a blast. It's a party. It's a free movie, free pizza, free snacks, free arcade game.
And we promise to not spike the punch.
Only if we show Titanic.
Yeah. Then yeah, we're getting fucked up.
If you're ever like, why are they showing a good movie? Don't eat the chowder.
Don't eat the chowder.
But if you want more information on that and what our upcoming events would be, please follow us on Instagram at disasterpiece_movie_night. That's also where you can keep up with this podcast. And Justin, if people wanted to keep up with you, where can they do that?
Folks, you can find me on the open seas at justindodd.rocks. That's where you can find all of my stuff. Steve, what about your stuff?
You can find me in a Winnebago finishing off a case of Carlsberg, smoking a huge joint and taking a couple swigs of sweet, sweet Canadian scotch. And that's... or you can go to stevejhward.com, and that's where you can find a bunch of the work that I've done and see what I look like and give the screen a little kiss when you do.
There you
Why
go.
Not? Yeah, go for it.
We want to give a shout out to Ryan Patterson, who wrote our theme song. Shout out, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
And a special thank you to our studio producer, Nuki.
Nuki looks kind of weird right now.
Nuki, one of your eyes Nuki is red.
Nuki, we're not doing a conga line right now. All right, we should get this guy to the hospital.
Folks, make sure to rate this podcast, leave a review, and to hit that subscribe button. Even if you're only going to listen to an episode once every couple months, we appreciate the numbers anyway.
Nuki, I can't take it out of you.
Oh, folks, we got to go. Thanks for listening, and until next time.
Let me tell you, you haven't lived until you've been high on PCP, which, by the way, I do not recommend to anyone, even stoners.